Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right, ladies, I'm going to give you what you've all been waiting for. I'm going to give you an honest perspective from a man's point of view on what we really think about Valentine's Day. Now, what I'm about to say is not because we don't love you. It's not because we're bad people. It just comes with the holiday. Okay? All right. So how do most men feel about Valentine's Day? Well, I'll tell you, one word comes to mind: pressure. Pressure. It's just so much pressure to get this day right. And I love Valentine's Day. Let me tell you, my mom was born on Valentine's Day. Happy birthday, mommy. I love you. My mom's anniversary is on Valentine's Day. She and my stepdad, Coach Bert, are celebrating 20 years today, 20-year anniversary. Wow, happy anniversary. Let's show them some love. All right, let me tell you, my late father-in-law's birthday was also on Valentine's Day. So when I found out Christina's dad's birthday was on Valentine's Day, my mom's birthday was on Valentine's Day, it was meant to be. I just knew, like, God used that to say, look, y'all are meant to be in love. So I'm grateful for Valentine's Day. But I also remember those days in elementary school and middle school when you're trying to figure out who your Valentine's going to be, if you're going to have one, if you're going to give somebody a gift. It was just so much pressure for this day that it almost made you feel like you had to deal with relationships even if you didn't feel like it. This day, out of all the days in the year, you had to do something. But thank God that our love does not hinder on one day. As disciples, we should be showing love all throughout the year, and we should be imitating the love of God. All right. And that is very important when we talk about one another relationships, specifically romantic relationships. All right. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to talk about three things that are so important if we want to make romantic relationships work. Now, these three things are important whether you are married, whether you are engaged, dating, or one day you want to be in a relationship. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the keys to the car so you can drive it whenever God makes that whip available for you. All right. So we're going to start out with number one. Communication is key. And there's a scripture that makes it very simple for us. It's a great place to start when we talk about communication. And that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. In the NLT, it says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Okay, so that's where we start, right? Like, don't be cussing people out. Don't be going off on people. Like, at the bare minimum, don't use foul, hurtful language. What we say should be an encouragement. You know, sometimes we are just critical by nature. It's easy for us to see the negative, and it's easy for us to talk about the negative, but it does so much good when we just take time to encourage one another, when we go out of our way to think about characteristics in other people that encourage you, that are a blessing to you. And so that's an easy way to build a great romantic relationship. And that's simply by saying nice things to each other, okay? In James chapter 1, the scriptures say, "Be slow to speak and quick to listen." And so, you know, God gave us two ears and only one mouth. So we should really strive to listen. Okay. And that's rare nowadays, but it's so important because when we listen, we have a better chance at being understanding with one another. And if there's anything I know that someone in a relationship, that person needs is to feel like they are understood. And listening helps us to do that for one another. Okay. Now, here's the thing that I learned about a lack of communication. A lack of communication can lead to a lot of issues, right? And so it can be something as simple as, hey, we said we were going to meet at this place at this time. Now, the other person heard, we're going to meet at that place at that time. There was a miscommunication, okay? Now, what happens often when there's a miscommunication, then that leads to an argument because we project the issue, the problem on the person, and we don't believe the best in people. Now, the scriptures say love, it always hopes that it believes the best in others, but it's so easy to feel like they're out to get us, right? And so the key is when you have a miscommunication, don't let it turn into an argument. Solve the problem, solve the issue. Say, you know what? We just didn't hear each other the right way. We didn't do it on purpose. That person probably is not purposefully trying to mess up the date and time you were supposed to meet somewhere or what you were supposed to do for them that day or how you were going to handle this problem. It's more likely that that person in the relationship that you're in a relationship with wants that situation to work out for the best for the both of you. Okay. So what I like to say is instead of talking about who's at fault when there's miscommunication, well, you should have done that or you should have done that. You know what? Why don't we say, okay, let's solve the problem. What can we do differently next time? Or how can we reschedule whatever we need to reschedule? You know what? It's okay, boo. It's okay, babe. You know, we just misheard each other. I know you didn't do it on purpose. Communication is key. Now, you may come from a situation where you have different ways that you grew up communicating. Maybe you grew up in a family that talked all the time, like mine. We just talk about everything. Or you maybe grew up in a family where you just did not talk about things and you just brushed everything under the carpet and the issues and you just kept right on going. But that's not the way God wants us to communicate. He wants us to learn what's going to work best for our relationship. But I share that because we got to have a lot of grace on each other, knowing that they just didn't wake up like this. Okay. This has been years and years and years in the making, and we got to learn how to work it out. All right. Communication is key. Number two, consideration. Consideration. You know, we live in a very self-consumed culture where it is about me, myself, and I, right? But what I have learned is that we can't have a we if it's all about me. It's just not going to happen. Now, unfortunately, so many people jump into relationships because of what they can get out of it. I like her. I like him. I like the way they make me feel. I want to be able to marry that person. Man, they got a good job. They are financially stable. Look what they do for me. And so once they stop doing for you, then there's an issue. And so as disciples of Jesus, we go into relationships looking for ways where we can consider others better than ourselves. And that's what the scriptures talk about in Philippians 2. Like, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. That means that we are looking not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others to figure out, okay, what's going to encourage that person? How can I be thoughtful and knowing and trusting that if I love well, that we reap what we sow, we will be loved well back. Now, there'll always be issues, but we got to set the example because the only person we control is me. That's it. And so we have to be considerate of others. You know, it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, husbands in the same way. Be considerate as you live with your wives. Be considerate as you live with your wives. Let me tell you, I was told a long time ago that the most selfish creature on this planet is a single man. You wake up when you want to. You eat breakfast when you want to. You spend most of the day thinking about one person, yourself. All right. And so what I learned as that I grew up in life, as I started dating, it was the ultimate form of self-denial. Then I got engaged and that was the ultimate form of self-denial. And then I got married and that was the ultimate form of self-denial. And then I had children and we all know that is the ultimate form of self-denial. And so as we mature as men, we become more and more selfless, which means we become more and more like Jesus. But God set that trajectory in order for a reason, right? Because it gives us a chance to grow as our family grows, right? And so it's so important that in those families, in our marriages, we say, okay, man, how can I look out for my wife? How can I be considerate of her, needs, so that I'm not just doing what I want to do, but I can put that to the side and say, okay, you know what? I want to do what you want to do. That's what's going to make you happy is going to make me happy. As long as you're happy, I'm happy, right? That's the, a happy wife is a happy life. That's the conviction that we want to have as men. And bottom line is we got to repent of our selfishness, but it is a process. It is a refining process. So we got to be considerate of one another. That is so key. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about be considerate, to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So to consider something, to be considerate of someone means that we actually have to think about it. So when's the last time you took time out just to think about how to encourage somebody else toward love and good deeds, how to spur them on, how to help them, how to move them forward? When's the last time you took time with God, your quiet time, your time with God, to not just think about what issues you got to work on, but to think about, okay, who can I write a card for right now? What does this person need right now? And taking that time out, because we got to set those healthy habits now, especially those of you who are single. You got to set those healthy habits now, because that's how you'll be able to be selfless and considerate as you grow into a romantic relationship. If you do not get this, you will be fighting like cats and dogs. Let me tell you, it's going to be tough, because whenever you have a person that wants their way or it's the highway, it's not going to work out. So we're used to doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it. And really, the longer we're single, we get kind of stuck in our ways, in our own routines, and the things that we like, doing them when we want to do them and how we want to do them. And then here comes this other person that kind of challenges that. Yeah, we like them. We may even feel like we're starting to fall in love with them. But once they start disrupting our routine, our plans, the things that we've done for so long, then there may be conflict. And so, you know, sometimes as we're praying for these romantic relationships, we got to be praying about, God, you know what? Make me uncomfortable. You know, just make me a little uncomfortable, because that answer prayer will come in discomfort. All right. There will be change that needs to happen, and you won't be able to love the same way you've always loved. You will have to learn how to love that person the way they need to be loved. Okay. So, you know, as we get into relationships, we can't love the same, right? Never love the same. We have to love like Jesus, which brings us to our third point, and that is conflict resolution. So we talked about communication, consideration, and now it's conflict resolution. This is so important. Let me tell you, in any relationship that means something to you, there's going to be conflict. Do not be surprised by the fact that you get into an argument, that you see things different ways, that you hurt each other's feelings. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be sin involved. It's just going to happen. Any relationship, anybody that wants to have a relationship that's going to last, has to be really good at forgiveness. Like, as disciples, we have to be great at forgiveness. And let me tell you, we want to be like Jesus. until we get betrayed, right? We want to be like Jesus until we get talked about. We want to be like Jesus until we get crucified. But do we really want to be like Jesus? Because if it wasn't for this one characteristic about Jesus, the fact that he forgives us, if it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't even have a relationship with him. And so we have to become really good at forgiveness if we're going to be disciples. And usually as disciples, we give our hearts, we love, and we serve. And so we open ourselves up to be hurt. That's called being vulnerable. That's what it is. And so it doesn't take away the sting. It hurts even more when it comes from a close friend, a brother, a sister that you, you know, you have a relationship with. And yet in those moments, we really get to understand what it means to suffer like Christ, but also we have a chance to forgive like Christ. And so in conflict resolution, you know, that's going to be important. You know, the Bible says in the Proverbs that it is to a person's glory to overlook an offense. So the first piece of advice when it comes to conflict resolution is this worth fighting about? Like, you need to figure out first and foremost, is this worth bringing up, or is this something that you will just let go? Can you just let it go? Can you overlook an offense, or is everything have to be an issue? Because the bottom line is that there's always going to be things that come up that are going to annoy you or whatever else may be that people do without even really knowing they're doing it, right? And so, man, it is to our glory to overlook offenses. So, for example, in me and my relationship with Christina, we've been married almost 16 years now, and we had to decide, okay, am I going to argue about this, or am I just going to let it go? Now, what we decided was we're going to strive to overlook offenses as much as possible. Now, when it stays on our heart and it affects our relationship, then we got to make sure we talk about it, right? And so we may talk about it in the moment, but what we try to do is really go back and pray, get advice, and try to figure out from God and from our trusted friends is like, okay, this is what happened. Do you even think I should bring it up? Or not? Should I just pray about it? There's been times that I've had issues with my wife, and I knew that I couldn't communicate in a way that was going to be considerate, right? And so even in the moment, I just couldn't go there. But I went back, I prayed, and just recently, I remember the next day, my wife came and said, I just spent some time with God, and I just want to make sure we're good with this specific thing. And it was exactly what I was struggling with. And so we really got to give this up into the hands of God and know that God is in control. We don't always have to be the ones that get vengeance, right? That have to make somebody else understand how they made us feel, right? That doesn't have to be in our hands. It's our relationship. It's our responsibility to, as long as it depends on us, to be at peace with one another. That's Romans 12, right? That's our responsibility. God's gonna work his thing, right? And then it takes two to tango when it comes to reconciliation. But here's the thing, when there's conflict, you have to ask yourself this question. We all have to ask ourselves this question. When there's conflict, do we want reconciliation or do we want revenge? Because if we want revenge, there's nothing that person could ever do to make things right. Because when we want revenge, we want something bad to happen to that person. We want that person to pay, right? And having that heart of vengeance is never going to be satisfied. Now, if we want reconciliation, then we're going to move forward to, first of all, forgive and then pray about how God can bring us back into a relationship and having a peace accord in our relationship. So what will it be? Reconciliation or revenge? Ephesians Chapter 4, verse 2 in NLT says this: always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. There's no way you can have a relationship that glorifies God. There's no way you can love the way God wants us to if we're not humble, if we're not gentle, right? If we're not patient. That's long suffering, right? And if we don't make allowance for each other's faults, my wife always says, and I'm so moved by this, she's like, I give Angel an allowance to hurt me. wow. Like, yeah, that's, I'm going to allow him to, that's part of me coming into this relationship. And so do I ever want to hurt her? No, but I struggle, right? I sin. I go off when I shouldn't. I have attitude when I shouldn't, right? But she said, I'm going to give Angel an allowance. She sets herself up so that her heart will be right with God and be pure and be eager to forgive, knowing that I have faults and I will mess up. What if we gave people an allowance to hurt us? Like, you know what? I'm going to allow you. I love you that much. I love you so much. I love this relationship so much that being hurt is worth it in this relationship because it's going to happen. What I want to leave you with when it comes to conflict resolution is this. Get on the offense and stop playing defense. What I mean is this. So many times in our relationships, we're just putting out fires. And yes, we may say, I'm sorry. We may forgive. We may get back to, it's okay. Hey, we're good again. We're functioning again. Hey, we went on this date. We're laughing again. Hey, we're intimate again, whatever it may be. But many times what happens is if we never truly dealt with the issue. We said, I'm sorry. We never dealt with the issue. And so that issue's still there for the next time around where we hurt each other, right? Or the issue just comes up because we never decided how we're going to compromise on this and how we're going to move forward in this specific situation, okay? So what I mean is this, as you encounter conflict, do this. Say, okay, are we at peace? Okay, how are we gonna compromise on this so that we both feel good about it? And then lastly, what are we gonna do next time this happens? The next time that I am I'm struggling, the next time that I feel like you hurt me, the next time you do this specific thing that annoys me, how are we going to respond? Because what we just did, we don't want to keep doing over and over again. We want to keep growing, okay? So that's the key. Use the conflict as an opportunity to grow. Make decisions for the future. You know, in closing, we know that Jesus loves us. He gave himself up for us. We know that because of him, we can make sure that we never love the same. We know that his death on the cross is because we betrayed him, is because we sinned against him. We abandoned him and we still do that. Like, I still turn my back on him sometimes. Like, I still choose against him and against his love. And he's still there to love me. The basis of our love, in order to never love the same, is to make sure we love like Jesus loves us. And that's a high calling. But we see his love on the cross. And so as we get ready to take communion, I want to make sure that we have our cracker and our juice ready to go so that we can take communion together and remember Jesus. Remember that it's his love that allows us to love the way he loves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are and how much you love us, God, in spite of us. Your love covers us. It comforts us. It forgives us. It is patient with us. We're grateful that we get to have a relationship with you. And thank you so much for the wisdom that you give us in how to deal in relationships, how to communicate well in a loving way, how to be considerate and show our love in that way, how to even resolve conflict through biblical love, and help us to always look to you and not the world in the way we love one another, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. We know that his death on the cross was an action of love that we can always look to. We can always look to feel secure in his love for us and to fill us so that we can love others in the same way, God. Bless this communion as we take this cracker that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us, God. As we take this juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sin, Father God, that we may have the same type of love that Jesus has for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.